abusers love the fact that they can isolate somebody. And if we're bringing awareness to that piece, a lot of the people that we've been working with, they have talked about the fact that a lot of their friends and family members have reached out more. But at the same point in time, the media itself and also different shows like the Netflix Made have really brought to light domestic violence, and that it's not just physical, that there's all these other elements that go into it.
Now, you've just been up in Tallahassee talking with lawmakers about some legislation to move the needle on domestic violence prevention. What can you tell me about legislation that's up for discussion this session?
There's one that's specifically a bill that's out there that I'm really interested in watching to see what's going to happen with it. It's called the Grayson's Bill, and it's based on the fact that there was a domestic violence between the adults. The abuser got custody rights of their son, and then what ended up happening is that on one of the different times where he had custody of the child, there was a murder-suicide. And there was a lot of things that led up to the mom being concerned about the safety of her child. But at the end of the day, the system did not work for her. And so this bill is really to talk about course control, is really to talk about protections for the youth that is in the custody when there is domestic violence and abuse happening. And so that's one that I'm looking at because it really addresses a lot of things that are not in the domestic violence law. But more importantly to me, it talks about and shows that domestic violence is more than just the two people, that it affects the entire family, and that children are often used as pawns in that abuse.
If you look at the issue nationally, are you seeing some progress there in either funding for domestic violence prevention or law changes in the last couple of years?
I would say so many people have been really tied into COVID right now that I haven't seen a lot of movement, but I believe that as we move into a different direction with COVID and people are going to see that domestic violence is still there, we are going to be able to have some movement. One of the biggest things that I've seen post-COVID is how a lot of the domestic violence providers across the United States have moved to different ways to work with survivors to meet them where they are. And so even having Zoom one-on-ones because someone can't leave the house, also having text and advocate be added to a normal part of the daily operation. Those are total game changers in delivery of service. We started that and we have now answered thousands of text messages. And when we're able to get someone to reach out to us, however they can reach out to us and get them to safety, that's a win. And we weren't there prior to COVID. We didn't know that we needed that for survivors. And so I'm going to take that as one of the really good things that came out of this.
The Winter Park police chief was arrested on a misdemeanor charge of domestic violence battery, and this is following a reported argument with a family member. Michelle, what does your research tell you about the rate of domestic violence or intimate partner violence amongst law enforcement officers?
So abusers are everywhere, and they're going to be within our law enforcement. They might be within firefighters. They might be within real estate agents. They're going to be within any type of profession. Domestic violence does not see profession, socioeconomic, and color, and that goes on both sides. That's not just on a victim, it's on the abuser side as well. And so that's why we do a lot of work. We are in partnership with law enforcement so that they also know that if something happens within their ranks, that they can hold that person accountable.